Now more with Frank Gaffney.
We're back, and one of the great things about being able to do this program is the chance to not only introduce the rest of you to fascinating people, but to interact with them myself. I had the privilege of meeting our next guest briefly following some remarks he gave to a wonderful program sponsored by the American Freedom Alliance in Los Angeles last fall. His name is Dr. Robert Epstein. He is a senior research psychologist at the American Institute for Behavioral Research and Technology. He has previously been editor-in-chief of Psychology Today. He's a PhD from Harvard University. He's the author of 15, count them, 15 books, including Teen 2.0, Saving Our Children and Families from the Torment of Adolescence. But what caught my eye is he is doing serious analysis into one of the most consequential problems of our time, which I think is the abuse, yes, the abuse of power by private sector monopolies that have made immense amounts of money by essentially exploiting our privacy, providing services to be sure, but exploiting our privacy for what seem to be increasingly political ends. Dr. Epstein has done a study most recently of something called search suggestion effects, and we're going to be talking with him about that. But first, let me extend a proper welcome and thanks for joining us. Dr. Epstein, it's so good to have you with us for the first time, I believe. Thank you for doing so.
My pleasure, Frank. It's an honor.
Well, listen, I'm fascinated by what's going on in this space. I think of it as a battle space, really, Dr. Epstein. Could you just sort of set the stage for us for some of your work by drilling down a little bit on this idea that these now institutions like Google and Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and Instagram and even Wikipedia are now, you know, essentially, well, I would say invaders of our privacy and exploiters of that privacy for commercial purposes that might be detrimental to our national interest?
Well, sure. I can say just a couple things by way of background here. First of all, there aren't as many companies as you think. Instagram is owned by Facebook. YouTube is owned by Google. Yahoo gets all of its answers from Google. Siri, the personal assistant on Apple products, gets all of its answers from Google. So much more consolidated than you would think. Basically, you know, as Sir Tim Berners-Lee, who invented the World Wide Web, has said recently, the Internet has evolved in a way that the creators of the Internet, including Berners-Lee, did not envision. And some of them now have gotten together and are expressing tremendous concern. Some of these founders, these originators, these pioneers, they've actually founded an organization devoted to trying to take down these tech giants, because the Internet was supposed to be a kind of almost a playground where everyone had equal access and equal impact. And that is not what has happened. What's happened is it's been taken over by primarily two monstrously huge monopolies, which have created three monstrously huge problems which have never existed before in human history, not on this scale. The first is surveillance, which is completely out of control. The second is censorship, which is occurring on a scale that just boggles the mind. And the third is manipulation, which is what I study very carefully in controlled experiments. Manipulation of everything, our beliefs, attitudes, decisions, purchases, and our votes.
Yeah. Political, indeed. Just before we get to that, and I will reserve the bulk of our time for it, but just very quickly, in terms, Dr. Epstein, of surveillance and censorship, as you say, this is unprecedented in human history in terms of its scale. It's not because people didn't try. Heavens knows, we've had successive totalitarians trying to monitor, you know, their population's every move and every thought and control those thoughts in terms of what's expressed. That's not supposed to happen in America, of course. We have constitutional protections against such intrusive surveillance and such curbing of our freedom of speech. And yet, it does seem as though increasingly both are part and parcel of this kind of Faustian bargain we've struck with the Facebooks and the Googles, is it not?
Absolutely. And the problem with this kind of surveillance is it's not being done, at least the new kinds of surveillance are not being done by our government. In theory, the government is accountable to the people. But the problem is that this surveillance and the censorship is being done by private companies, which are not accountable to the public. They're accountable only to their shareholders.
If that.
If that is right.
As long as they're making money, the shareholders don't seem to give a fig.
That's right. Exactly right. So people don't realize the extent of the surveillance. They don't realize that they're being surveilled when they're online and, you know, using a search engine or writing an email. But they're also being monitored when they're offline, which people just don't understand. People don't get it.
And I think similarly, they don't understand the degree to which censorship is taking place either, that they may themselves be the subject of shadow banning or other forms of censorship, demonetizing, what have you, or they may not be able to get the information they want because the people that they would like to get it from are being censored, which brings us to your subject of particular expertise. Tell us a bit about the work you've done now, two major efforts in the space of these IT giants' manipulation of us all.
Well, our first discovery was in early 2013, and frankly, when we discovered this phenomenon, which we ended up calling SEME, S-E-M-E, which stands for Search Engine Manipulation Effect, I didn't even believe our numbers. Basically, what we showed is that just by putting search results, the kind you get when you type a search term into Google, just by putting them in a certain order that favors one candidate or another, that you could shift people's opinions about the candidates and their voting preferences. And I thought when we first started this work, I thought we could shift voting preferences by 2 or 3%. And in our very first experiment, the shift was 48%, not 2%. It was 48%. I thought that was a mistake.
Now, let me make sure I understand. This is just in terms of the ordering of information that is provided on in a search of, a Google search or what have you?
Just the ordering. And to put this in perspective, the headlines keep blaring stories at us about, Russian place ads and Cambridge Analytica placed ads and Macedonian teenagers writing fake news stories. All that is called content. But the content actually doesn't matter anymore. There are millions of companies and people contributing content, every second on the internet. It's not the content that matters anymore. All that matters are the gateways to the content, basically primarily two companies that determine which content we're going to see and which we're not, and that's called filtering, sometimes also known as censorship. And the other thing they determine is the order in which we're going to see the information. And that ordering, it turns out, on the search engine has an absolutely unbelievably dramatic impact on people's opinions, beliefs, purchases, voting preferences. Second experiment we did, we got a shift of 63%. This effect seen as one of the largest behavioral effects ever discovered in the behavioral sciences in 100 years.
Yeah. Let me ask you quickly about the search suggestion effects. That's a whole nother kettle of fish, isn't it?
Yes. This is something we started studying in 2016. Took us 16 months of experiments before we really understood it. This is also quite scary because basically, from the time you first start to type a search term onto Google, you are being manipulated with the very first character you type. In fact, you're being manipulated.
In the sense that they're surveying you as what you may be looking for. Is that the idea? I mean, it doesn't seem as though it's manipulation. It seems as though it's helping you, right?
It seems like it's helping you. It's actually highly manipulative. They're flashing suggestions at you from the first character that you type, and those are not random suggestions. They're trying to get you to click. For most people, when they just hit the letter A, they get a list instantly with Amazon at the top. That is not a coincidence, because Amazon is the largest advertiser on Google. They pay Google $300 million a year in advertising fees, and Google is the largest single source of traffic to Amazon. So Google is trying to get you to click on Amazon when you just type the letter A. But bottom line on this new effect, this SSE thing, is that you can, by manipulating search suggestions, you can turn a 50-50 split among undecided voters into a 90-10 split with no one aware that they're being manipulated.
That is stunning. Well, you have been quoted somewhere on a search engine, Dr. Robert Epstein, as suggesting that the cumulative effect of all of this is to cause, quote, democracy to become an illusion, unquote. Chilling thought. And if it weren't backed by such scrupulously documented and rigorous scientific analysis, one might scoff at it. But you do that sort of work, Dr. Robert Epstein, at the American Institute for Behavioral Research and Technology. How can people find these two important studies on SEME and SSE?
Well, you can go right to the Institute's website. That's aibrt.org. And I think right now on the homepage, right at the top, we have a link to a report about this search suggestion effect. So there have also been really a couple of thousand news articles written about the research.
Many of them are fairly far down the page, though, for Google searches, I'm sure. We appreciate you putting us at the top of your page. Dr. Epstein, thank you so much for this incredibly important work. Keep it up. I know you will, and I hope come back to us to talk more about it as you develop it further. Next up, we'll speak with Kevin Freeman. We'll talk about economic warfare and what, among other things, China is likely to say to our delegation coming there this week. That and more. Straight ahead.
Go to SecureFreedomRadio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.